So what's your favorite kind of news to talk about? Do you like to break the bad news? Do you like to talk about the news because it gives you something to, whine about? The news is, it's interesting. But I want you to, you see this, these notes. Take those and look at the back side of the notes. For those of you at home, what do you do at a time like this? Now, don't get up and get another cup of coffee. That's ahead of time, print these out. I printed my notes like this at home. So I had actually forgotten my notes here at the church. So I printed them out at our printer at home. Do that ahead of time so you can process some things. And I want to turn your attention on the back page. It says, personal application and conversations. One word has changed. That's the title I've given this for years. Which word is different? Okay, thank you. Chris got it. I'm not going to buy you a sandwich today. He said conversations. We changed this a little bit. Rather than use the word interaction, because we were doing this almost exclusively, it seemed like, for growth groups. We want people to have conversations about this. Daniel incorporated that in his talk about the after service that will start up next week. We want people to have conversations. It might be at that meeting. It might be over lunch. It would be wonderful if a couple of these questions you could actually talk about with your neighbors or friends who don't know the Lord yet. At least you could start out with the first question that's almost always meant to be a, stop and think about this. So the first question here is, so by now you've had time to recall some good news and bad news humor. Some good news and bad news humor. How did the threat of today's cancel culture affect your decision to save this assignment for another day? Okay, let me tell you about this. I had a friend. I called him up. He's a pastor friend. And he's got everything down just like this. He's told me about humor. He said, I've got every category of humor. I've got it in little boxes in my mind. So, you give me a subject, the boss. And I've got, 25 questions or pieces of humor about that. So I said, okay, Dennis, I called him up this week and I said, Dennis, I need some good news, bad news humor. And he started saying things and I said, can't go there. Not in today's cancel culture. No, I can't do that. How about this one? And he goes, and he gives it to me. And one of them was, and we just sang a song, Jesus is calling. So he said, here's the good news. Jesus is calling. Now, I'm not going to tell you the illustrations that he had from there, but I will say this. It was something like, Jesus is calling, and he's calling, and the bad news is he's calling from someplace you would never go. You would never go. Now, you can fill in the blank on that. But there's a great message in that too, isn't there? That's right. Jesus came to this messy world. And he was among people who were, 24/7 sinning. Jesus is calling. Bad news? Maybe for us. He's calling from someplace you would never go. So, let me just turn your, let's go to questions 4 and 5. Now, we're talking about the gospel today. That's, I'm talking about good news. The gospel is good news, right? So how do you talk about the gospel when you are among this is the gospel of Christ, when you are among Christian friends? How do you talk about the gospel? Is it, do you talk about it in some fresh, enthusiastic way? Maybe because it's a discussion series like this? Or maybe it's just your life, you were talking to somebody whose life has been recently radically transformed by the good news, the gospel. Wow, that's how you might talk around Christians, right? But then question five, how do you talk about the gospel when you are with people who have not yet come to know the Savior? I was just, this week, do you know what Muslim month this is, or celebration? Are you aware that it's Ramadan? Well, one of the missions organizations that we support is World Venture. And World Venture has some amazing things that have come out in the... We support at least one missionary who's with World Venture. And his name is Tom, and he gave us this link. And he works especially with Muslims. And Tom said, just to help you pray your way through this time, you might want to print this out. And I printed out 55 pages of this this prayer guide. And it's just a beautiful prayer guide. I don't have a color printer, but I still really get the idea. And this prayer guide, if some of you want me to link this to you, I'd be happy to. But you're going to have to print out your own copy. But we've been doing this for devotions at night. And I've been stunned by these stories. As people who are in these various Muslim cities around the world, and they're all over the world, right? And they're saying, in this city, and they talk about ways to talk about the gospel. And there's nothing phony, because this person starts out with, I'm a Muslim. I was a Muslim, and I've come to Christ. There's also a video series it takes you through probably a 3.5 to 4 minute prayer of someone who was a Muslim, and they take you through this process. How do you talk about the good news when you're, boy, this is a great resource, and it's not phony at all. It's just bingo, real. Lots of ways to talk about the good news of the gospel without overwhelming somebody. So let's talk about the good news. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read from Galatians 1 verses 1 through 5. Where's Galatia? It's a large section of, it's like the midsection from top, almost top to bottom in Turkey today. That's our Turkey, the Mediterranean Sea. I'm just guessing now. It's just a little guess. I'm not a professional map person, but I like maps. So I'm looking at the little scale down below, and it looks like Galatia is about the size of, let's say from here to almost San Francisco. From here to there, that's that section, long, going north and south. And then it's probably the width of our state going east to west. That's that section. Now, Paul went into Galatia. He's writing to Galatia, to these people that are in a number of different churches. And this is what you'd call a circular letter. It's to go from one city to another. Take this and read it. And people would go and they'd bring, I've got this letter from Paul. No printing presses, no fax, no email. They're just reading the message. So this is how Paul writes now. And this is a really critically important piece of communication, because things have changed since he was first there, his first of three missionary journeys. So this is in between 1 and 2, we believe, about 49 AD. Okay, Paul, an apostle is a sent one, sent not from men. I'm not coming from a mission board. I'm sent by God, by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. So I'm first and foremost, I'm coming from Christ. I'm on a mission that he sent me to this mostly Gentile, not Jewish, mostly Gentile part of the world, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you Now, this is the way all these letters write, but in one sense of the word, that's how they write. But I tell you, this is you know, when you just look at each one of these individual words, and we're not going to have a full-on study, but grace and peace to you. From God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, pick up with the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Why? To rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. I got to tell you, this is a mouthful. And what is, I've come to understand is in this opening paragraph, Paul sets a course over something that he is deeply disturbed about. What he's deeply disturbed about is that people have come in right on his coattails, where people have come to Christ. They've turned to Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And they've started to say, no, that's not good enough. You started at the wrong place, starting with Christ. You Gentiles, you started it inappropriately. You never really should have been one of God's people. You shouldn't. Come on. We've been God's chosen people all these centuries. And we've paid the price all these centuries. And we've experienced the hatred and the wars and the division. And we've suffered under the judgment of God. And we've had the law and the prophets. And we've grown up with the law and the prophets. And now you come along and you start saying you've come to Christ. Now he's the super Jew, supposedly. What are we supposed to do with you? These people that are saying this to the people in Galatia are referred to as legalists. They're referred to as Judaizers. It simply means that they're saying to the Gentiles in that community, you've got to become like us first. You need to, if you're going to enter the, you're already in. We've got some ground to make up. You need to, if you're going to be a real follower of Christ, you're going to have to start over in this sense. You're going to have to embrace the law like we did. You're going to need all the ceremonial laws as well as the Ten Commandments. I mean, Jesus didn't ever say throw away the importance, all the truths of the Ten Commandments. But now we're saying you've got to keep the same festivals, the same holidays that we have. But most important for you men, you're going to need to be circumcised in order to really be saved. Paul gets word of this, and he's brokenhearted. And he's disturbed by the people who've come in. They're supposed to be like insiders, but much like him, raised in the law, they're kind of messing stuff up there in ground that he planted, in ground that he cultivated, ground that he hoed and pulled the weeds out of on his missionary journey with Barnabas. So Paul says in verse 4 once again, this Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 3 he's totally identifying Jesus 100% with the Father. There's no question that this Jesus is God. And it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. What's the gospel? There it is, right there. You cannot get the gospel in clear terms. Here's the good news. I mean, this is amazing good news. He Dan had us singing songs about the Lamb of God today, and it's not even Communion Sunday. Thank you, Dan. He gave himself for our sins. The gospel, what's the good news? If you ever get a chance to talk to somebody about the good news, here it is. This simple. Jesus gave himself for our sins. But it goes just a little bit further in order to rescue us from the power, rescue us from the present evil age. Some translations use the word deliverance. In my study, I came to probably understand that this word rescue is probably, from our English end of things, it's probably a better way of understanding it. Somebody might get the idea that he came to deliver us, or like almost like yank us out of this present evil world. Well, eventually he'll yank us out. He will, one way or the other. And we'll exit. But he came not to yank us out. He came to rescue us from the power of, as it were, this present evil age, according to God's will, the will of God and our Father, our God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world. This morning I happened to read an article by, I kind of seldom, if ever, read this guy's political contributions, because he's also a very, very conservative Christian, and he's, sometimes it sounds to me like he's whining too much, but he said, you know what the problem is? And it really fit. I read this very early this morning. He said he rescues us from the power of the evil age. The biggest problem is not the enemy without, it's the enemy within us. It's the enemy within us. How many times in the midst of all the social conflict and all the disturbances and all the finger pointing and all the accusations that we're a nation of, that we are a bad nation. Bad nation. Almost like talking to your dog, you know, bad boy. Maybe you wouldn't talk to your dog. Maybe your cats, you would talk that way. I just wanted to make sure that Priscilla was awake. But no, this is, you know, no, this bad, we're bad. And this guy said, no, the problem is really inside of us. You know, and I've been saying this for now quite some time. I thought, this is starting to ring true. The problem is that we've got a sin nature, right? And that sin nature keeps rearing its ugly head. It does. It comes back. And I grab control of the situation. I try to grab control of it. I don't necessarily overpower it. But Jesus came to rescue me from myself. He came to rescue you from yourself. He came to rescue us from ourselves. Sometimes when we pool together our power, and then suddenly we realize the enemy is us. Sometimes. Because we're operating too much in the power of the flesh. And Galatians addresses that. So the good news is the gospel, Christ came to rescue us. He died, he gave himself, he died for our sins to rescue us from the power of this present evil age that just keeps on inflaming things inside of us. And we, in that number one part of this world, is the enemy that is us. Verse 6, Paul writes, I am astonished that after this short time that I've been gone, now I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel. They're trying to flip the gospel on its head and turn you back to a point that, you know, it's got to be keep these laws, keep these holidays, keep these practices, which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into, and this is throwing you into confusion, because you want to please God. You've started this relationship with God, and you want to please him. But now they're starting to say, yeah, Paul is goofy, and that gospel that he presented to you is incomplete. You've got to go back to the beginning. But even if we are an angel from heaven should preach to you. Now, Paul doesn't name anybody he doesn't give anybody's name. It's that former Pharisee or this leader or that leader in one of your churches. He doesn't point any fingers. He even includes, he said, if we or an angel from heaven, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you another gospel other than the gospel that we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. These people that are preaching this gospel to you, they need to end up in forever the judgment of God. Verse 9, as we have already said, and so now we say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted from us, then let him be eternally condemned. Angels, teachers, or even me, if I change on this, the good news is the good news is the good news. Stick with that. Now, I was thinking about this week, and for the young people that might be here, or the younger people, the people that are behind me by about 40 years or so, I'm wondering, and how can all of us understand the, I mean, I doubt that many of you were raised Pharisees, right? Not, I mean, real Pharisees, you know, in the Jewish tradition of the word. Probably most of you weren't raised in the synagogue. You weren't raised at temple. You were just, you're not a Jew. Anybody here that was a Jew? Okay. How do we relate to this? You know, this business of the shock, the people that were following on Paul's coattails, people that, I'm talking about the leaders behind Paul. Why did they hate Paul so much? Why such a following of people that they would follow him, not just in Jerusalem, but they would follow him up into Syria, and they would follow him across the Mediterranean Sea. They just were always there to try to destroy him. Why couldn't they just, I mean, these were some of them were truly believers in Christ, but they kept on attaching the law. They couldn't understand how somebody could come into the body of Christ and not have been a Jew. How do I relate to this? I was thinking about this morning. And I was mindful of how would all of us relate to this? I was at a ball game yesterday outdoors. I was out in the outdoors. The air is moving well. The sun is shining. Grandchildren, three of my grandchildren are out on the field playing. And somebody, you know, we were saying, we're sitting there just saying, man, it just really feels good. This really feels good. It's almost like, doesn't it? It almost feels like it's normal. And the person standing next to me said, you know, I wonder how long it'll be before we can get rid of these. You know, I said, well, you know, quite frankly, I'm concerned that it might be forever. There's such a, and I'm not getting into the science right now, okay? You can talk to somebody else like Dr. Ortner about that. And he'd be a good person to talk to. Seriously, he'd be a good person to talk to about the science behind this. But if you want to take it further, but you know, there are things that go on as to whether the science is being handled correctly or not. There will clearly be for quite some time a little bit of maybe a lot of virtue signaling. When can you give this up? I was amazed today on CBS. They were talking about, well, they've all along been kind of part of the crowd that would say, lock it down, lock it down, lock it down, lock it down. And they had a whole number of reports on, sounded like it's back to normal. Everybody is cutting loose and traveling now. I couldn't quite tell. I'm not giving a position in this. I'm really not. The point was I thought, are they now saying you're all free to go wherever you want to go? I don't know. But it kind of sounded like that. You're wondering, who are the people that are going to give us permission? Now, this is not meant to be a message on mask wearing, okay? It's just not. If that's all you hear, what I'm trying to say to you is probably all of us are dealing with, you know, okay, well, pastor's up there now, he's got this off, and he might be standing outside and have forgotten to put his mask on, and when you're at the ball game or when you're walking into the store, can you walk into the store without a mask? And then when you go through the door of this, you know, I think everybody's going to be a little bit confused, aren't they? Okay, what's the point? Can you see any segue here? There is a segue. It was the same deal for the people who were raised with the law. It was just a different law. It wasn't the mask law. It was circumcision. To you, you might say, why did that have to be a big deal? It kind of makes me feel uncomfortable to even talk about that subject. It was like, you don't belong in the family of God until you've been circumcised. And Paul's saying, you know, the people that are putting that on Jesus now, you know what they're really saying? What Jesus did when he came to rescue us, when he went to the cross to pay for our sins, you're saying it wasn't enough. And Paul's saying, enough. Stop it. We're talking about God's plan of salvation. And if circumcision was necessary for you to be part of the family of God, if that was it, then God would have stuck with the law. Period. The end. I'm going to stick with the law until you get it. Paul said, listen, for those people that are coming along after me and are talking about that, whether it be an angel of God or me or anybody else, let them be what? What was the word? Let them be not just quiet, let them be condemned. Condemned. Are there a lot of people, are there a lot of different gospels? Well, there's a lot of different attempts at the gospel. But let me tell you, if it takes anything away, if it's Jesus plus anything, it's not Jesus. It is not Jesus. What I can say unequivocally to anybody, given the opportunity to speak and the freedom to speak, is here's the good news. The good news is Jesus came to pay for our sins. That's good news. I can't do enough. There is no extra credit that I can do in terms of being good. I can't do it. That's why Jesus said, you need me. The gospel, you know, if you want to write down, there are so many gospel statements that Jesus made. I am the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. I am the resurrection and the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, He doesn't put a parenthesis and say, whoever among the circumcised believes in him. And whatever the rest of the laws are. No, he just, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you hear in the words that Jasmine read today from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 12, when he said, when he, God's word, this is the it's referred to as the song of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12, that your name, O Lord, is to be proclaimed among the nations. God's plan for salvation was to welcome the nations in. Get the word out among God's among the people, and make it very, very, very clear. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins in order to rescue us, so that we would be able to rescue us from the power of this evil age over us that will always be tempting us, that will, it will fall sucker to it every, over and over and over again. But he gave himself to rescue us from this present evil age. And as we talked about just a little bit last week, and then he provided the Holy Spirit who would live within us, to remind us of his will, to remind us of his way, to remind us of all those things. When Jesus said, I didn't come, Matthew chapter 5, I didn't come. This is good, such great news. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. Let me give you a few illustrations. I fulfill it with regard to adultery. I fulfill it with regard to marriage and divorce. I fulfill it with regard to, I'll let you know what I mean by no murder and how you sometimes kill with your tongue. I'll fulfill it by explaining what these things mean. But I'll fulfill it by paying the price. You have some good news to talk about? Question 5. How do you talk about the good news, the gospel, when you're with people who have not yet come to know Christ as Savior? Will you pray about that? Will you? Will you just pray that God will give you words just to love people, but also be able to say to them, one way or the other, these are the truth claims of Jesus. The truth claims that Jesus spoke, or that Paul spoke, or that John spoke, or that Peter spoke, or that James spoke. Here's some of the good news. There's a ton of it. But all that good news points back to Jesus, the one who gave himself for our sins. That's good news. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. Lord, it's amazing. Forgive us, Lord, if we who have known you for years forget how good that news is, that Jesus came to He came to deal with my sins and the sins of the world. And I know, Lord, that everybody in the world, everyone, needs this Savior and no other. No other. I pray that nothing, Lord, would get in the way of us communicating to friends who know you and to people who don't know you yet, and maybe even far from you. Lord, would you work in my heart, in our hearts, so that we will be able to share this amazing news that Jesus came to rescue me and us from our sins. Dismiss us now with expectation as we go into a world that neighborhoods and workplaces, family and friends that need you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.